Hey everybody, how's it going? It's episode 4. It's your girl, Elise Swopes. We are on my podcast, Swopes So Dope. Welcome. If you are new here, I am from Chicago, Illinois. I'm an Instagrammer and a social media marketing influencer. I like to creative direct shoots and I shoot and edit mostly with my iPhone. I've got about 250,000 followers on Instagram, so be sure to follow me at Swopes, and welcome to my podcast. So, it's the second week of January. What have you done with your life so far? Is the pressure off yet for your New Year's resolutions? Have you succeeded? Have you failed yet? Have you not even started? Do you not even care? Because I really don't, but maybe I do. Maybe I do, and I'm just fronting, you know? I think we all like to pretend that we don't want to be under the man-made construct of time and doing things and being like, oh, I'm going to set a thing to do this. But I think it's kind of fun, too, you know, to set a goal for yourself and to have ambitions and to dream a little bigger than you did last week. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being better. We should always be trying to be better. So here we are, Chicago, second week of January. A lot's happened. R. Kelly's been outed quite literally. I think we've all kind of known, but I don't think we knew, if that makes sense. There was a documentary that came out, if you don't know, on Lifetime, Surviving R. Kelly, 6-part series. Each episode was just about basically his ways with young women. He traps them, enslaves them, and it's just all kinds of crazy stuff. And I, for one, see a catalyst from that in the Chicago scene, and it seems people have tried to connect the dots and almost like witch hunt people a little bit in a quarter sense. I mean, a lot of people actually quite deserve it, but there's a situation happening where a lot of people are trying to connect dots. And so a lot has come down to some of the most famous musicians in Chicago and those people and their friends and a lot of people that I know. And if you guys have listened to my podcast in the past, you know that I have chatted quite a bit about being in the mix of the scene of Chicago and how quite unfortunate it is to be in a circle where, you know, there's wrong things happening and people really don't say anything. And for me, that's kind of why I stopped going out. That's why I stopped talking to a lot of people. That's why I stopped really entertaining a lot of stuff, is because I just knew how people really were operating on the down low. And really, at the end of the day, once you kind of see how things are in certain places, you kind of don't want to be there anymore. And you kind of worry about your own stuff and your own life and your own things. And you kind of separate yourself. So for me, I think a lot of things are coming to light. A lot of important things are coming to light. I think a lot of people are speaking their truth and their mind and what they think happened and what they don't think happened. And I mean, there's a lot of conversations to have. What I think is most important is that we don't generalize a lot of these situations and we don't, you know, think about one situation being exactly like the next. Every situation is entirely unique. So I think the biggest mistake would be to assume anything at all within just this general area of conversation. So just always, you know, be open-minded and I don't know, it's crazy out here in this world right now. I think I'm looking at most people sideways. I think I'm finding out and hearing more conversations about people that I have known for many years, and that's scary. It's scary to know that you've been surrounded by people who are actual abusers and people who are actually hurting people and being creepy as hell. And being someone who is genuinely like kind-hearted, couldn't hurt a freaking fly. Like, I hate spiders and I don't even want to kill them. Like, it breaks my heart almost a little bit. It sounds weird, but whatever. But like, it weirds me out that there are people out there who genuinely want to hurt people, and I just cannot even process that actual concept. So I hope that things change. I hope things get better. I hope that through conversation, we can begin to build better trust and growth. And I think my problem is with a lot of this is that I don't think people are acknowledging the things that they've done, and that's why they don't deserve forgiveness. That's why they don't deserve acknowledgement for being upfront about it or being a fix. I am at a place where I've seen more time of people being like pretty shitty in their life than I've seen them being good. So I think sometimes it just takes time. I'm a big believer in time and taking essence of time. And I don't think time uses you. I think you use time if you're a smart person. But if you're not, then time is going to use you, and you'll be quite a waste. So I think what the best thing for a lot of these people who do have allegations, I think the best thing is to do is to conversate about what they've done, be honest, don't hide behind anything, and figure out how to get some help, and figure out how you can give back to the community without being around anyone who may feel like you're triggering them, or that you're in a position where you shouldn't be around other people of any whatever. So I don't know, it's a crazy time. I think we are dealing with a revolution of some sort, but it isn't physical as much as it's just mental. And I think a lot of us are at a place where we were like just at a personal growth, and a lot of people are just being left behind. And I don't know if we'll all connect in some kind of weird brainwave length at some point when in 3055. But right now, I think we'll just settle for podcasts. So we've got a few topics today. The topics are affirmations, motivations, psych words. I like this one. And someone was wondering if you think being in a loud and popping environment helps with the creative process, or does it not matter where you live, right? All right, so let's get into it. So affirmations changed my entire life, to be quite honest with you. I was in like a horrible negative loop for a really long time, and I call it a loop because I think people get super comfortable in feeling certain ways or doing things or making certain motions and stuff. I think that's why I was addicted to smoking cigarettes. That's why I was like just addicted to negativity. I think that's why we're on our phones scrolling. We're just like comfortable, stuck in a loop. And my loop was just being negative. And I was like, I don't want to feel negative anymore. I'm just going to be super like aware of why I'm feeling this the way I am, and write down why I'm feeling the way I am. And I got this idea from a 5-minute journal. The book is literally called 5-Minute Journal, and I found it in an Urban Outfitters, which was super random. And I was like, I don't know why, I just want to buy this book. And it was basically like you write in it in the morning, and then you write it at night, and you write three things that you look forward to, and then you write three great things I think that happened, and then you write one thing that you wish would have happened. And I did that for a few months straight. And it was really, like, extremely helpful for my thinking. But now that I read back in the book, which I think is so cool, because I get to see, like, really what I was thinking at the time. I was so just, like, emotional. Like, so not in control of, like my mind, and like being mindful. There was no like separation from like my actions and what I wanted. And what I think happened was I just was like, I separated myself from just like silliness. Like, I don't know. It was just, I think what I was doing was relying too much on what I was feeling without taking credit for what I was doing. I think sometimes we get so just like, I don't know. I wish that I could explain it in a better way, but I think it's more of a feeling when you know that you're not being goofy, when you know that you're not doing something that you're supposed to be doing. I mean, I think we all have an intuition and a gut feeling, that weird embarrassment feeling when you know that you're not doing it, doing something right, and then you keep almost like sabotaging yourself in this weird, strange way where you're just like, keep kind of piling on the shit of like just embarrassment, like more and more and more, even though like that's not what you want to do, but like let's just keep throwing it and just keep blocking everything out and making it worse. Like, that's ridiculous, but it's something people do. And I think with that is where my affirmations came into play, where I was like, okay, now I'm knowing what I want in the day, and now I'm making like manifestations in a way and saying, okay, here's like, okay, these are the things I want to accomplish today. Here are the three positive things I look forward to. And then I started doing those things like regularly. And then I got a journal, and the journal was a planner, and the planner is like half journal, half planner, but it's basically timing out like my day, like giving me everything. And let me find it real quick. Let me find the name, because this is literally like my pride and joy. Productivity planner. So the productivity planner is just a super awesome book, and I'm telling you, I've been through three of them so far, and it's got months and months of pages in it, but it's basically, it comes up to the most important task of the day, and then it invites you to secondary tasks of importance, and then additional tasks, and then it gives you some notes and stuff, but it's got a bunch of other things in here. It's super interesting about how to use the productivity planner, and it's really genuinely about what's most important to you in the day, what is important to do in the week, more importantly, and how do you hit those targets and break them up so that you can hit a goal for yourself. And I'm telling you, the productivity planner changed my life. I think we benefit as humans from writing things down physically. Do not underestimate the power of a pencil and a pen to paper, because it makes things real. So just honestly, just try it out if you're in a place where you're looking for affirmations, or if you're looking for motivation. And the 5-minute journal too. I think it's by the same people as a productivity planner. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you can Google all these names, because that's literally what it's called. And it's created by Intelligent Change. I'm not sponsored by them. I just really love their shit. So the affirmations came with just reading. I started reading The Power of Now. And then I started reading an emotional intelligence book. And then I started reading a judgment detox book. And then I started reading some other like self-help books. And these self-help books really quickly brought me into a self-awareness that I had never came to unless I would have started reading those books. It's so simple to become aware of something just by reading a few words. And now I'm like so open to the concept of just like growing and building by affirming and dreaming and thinking and becoming more mindful, I think, is the biggest thing. Affirmations include mindfulness, because mindfulness is the ability to be aware enough to affirm that you can accomplish something and agree with it and run with it. You know what I'm saying? I think we really have to be so determined with affirmations. So the best thing you can do is literally just really believe in that shit. So affirmations to me had to be practiced. They had to be consistent. They had to be extremely persistent. And if I didn't read them every single damn day, they were not going to stick into my mind. And I think if you really genuinely want to do something and you want to change, you have to do it every day and make sure that you are staying on top of it. Because if you don't do it all the time, it's not going to change and it's not going to happen. You got to make something a habit, you guys, if you really want to make it something. And I made happiness a habit. I made positivity a habit. I made just doing the right thing a habit just by speaking to myself in the moment of being human. When you find yourself in a position where you're afraid, if you find yourself in a position where you're just overthinking, if you're being negative, you know you're not being supportive of yourself, talk to yourself. Tell yourself that you are not being supportive of yourself and that you are not being your best self to yourself. If you want to start looking up some affirmations yourself, I'd say start on Pinterest. You'll find a lot of really awesome affirmations on there, and just type in how you feel, something you really need help with, and it'll find it. So, you know, the internet's there to help you, to get you started on maybe telling yourself your own things and just making a habit of it. And if you haven't, if I haven't necessarily explained what affirmations are yet, affirmations are just positive sayings you say to yourself to remind yourself of the greatness and the positivity that you have within you to live a happy and fulfilled life, because we all deserve happiness and at least some form of, just success and whatever that may be to any of us. Everything's quite unique. So someone asked me about motivation. How do I stay motivated? Honestly, my motivation comes from knowing that there's so much out there to do. I wake up every single day thinking about just the new information that I can learn, what emails I might get, the creative things that I could do, the opportunities I can pitch, the things I can see. It's just crazy how much more open my mind is after I just started thinking more positively and thinking, I hate saying this almost because it's kind of silly, but the glass half full. I really genuinely feel like that's how my mind feels at this point, because it never really felt like that initially. It always felt half empty, and it was always I just feel lost in myself. But it was, I'm telling you, what I was really lost in was my own mistakes and my own accountability. I wasn't doing the things that I was supposed to be doing. And what that came down to was just honesty with myself. And the motivation came from honesty. The motivation came from drive through learning what was out there and getting more opportunities from becoming better, becoming more just creative and having more of an honest vision. Like I said, I think in one of my first podcasts, my biggest thing that shifted my brand and who I am today was just being honest about my flaws and knowing what I was supposed to be doing and I wasn't doing it. So I said to myself, okay, what do I need to fix, and let me actually fix it? So I really went about, I had some debt problems. I had some problems not managing my life. I had problems not getting the money I was supposed to be getting, the gigs, I just didn't feel like I was even mindful or aware of the decisions I was making. So I decided to read a book. I decided to be more positive. I decided to hire a financial advisor. I decided to hire new management. I decided to really just hire people. Even though I was maybe at a loss, I think it was a good investment to ask people for help. Especially if you're in a position where you know and you believe in yourself and what you're trying to do. So just don't be afraid to ask people for help. Motivation comes from being transparent and vulnerable. And I don't think motivation comes from being fake. I think even if affirmations sound cheesy and they sound like they're not authentic, they are, because affirmations are things that are real. You are wonderful and you are loved and you are great and you have so much potential. You just have to lock into it. Maybe you don't believe it, maybe you do, but it's not that an affirmation is a lie. It's not a fake it till you make it type thing. It's a real thing. You just don't believe it yet. You feel it and you are wonderful. You just haven't accepted it. So it's different from, you know, saying I'm a graphic designer on a resume and you've never been a graphic designer, but you're gonna teach yourself along the way. Like, that's a fake it till you make it. That's not an affirmation. An affirmation is saying I'm amazing and I'm gonna do great today because I am wonderful and I am deserving of all wonderful things in life. So really, affirmations are they're amazing. I mean, they're not a lie. They're genuine, and they are a part of the motivational process for me. Motivation is, I mean, it's all personal. You know, what drives you? What is your purpose in life? What do you want at the end of the day? What would make you feel whole and good and warm and, you know, just keep that your motivation. Keep that in your heart. Keep that in your soul. My motivation is comfortability. My motivation is I think it's comfortability. I just want to feel good all the time. Not worry. No worries. No anything from my family. You know, just keeping everybody happy and healthy and whole. And that's like my motivation. And everything else, whatever comes from that, you know, success and all that, that's wonderful. And meeting people and being inspired entirely and whatever, and traveling, that's wonderful. But I think my biggest thing is making sure that at the end of the day, the people that I love and I can, the people that I love can go to bed great, they can sleep well at night, and I can too, you know. So right now everything seems to be going well. So also they were also wondering, being in a loud, and they quote this, in a loud quotation mark and a popping quotation mark environment helps the creative process. Do I think being in a city, basically, I think that's what you're asking, do I think being in a city helps the creative process? No, I think you can do anything anywhere. I think you need to figure out what you want to do with your life. Don't look on the internet and compare and contrast and, you know, try to see what you're up on and what you're not up on and what you could be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, whatever. What do you wake up wanting to do and feel good about doing? That's what's going to be your creative process, and that's what's going to take you out of the element. Maybe it isn't so much that you are like thinking that you have to come out of where you are now to create the things you dream of doing, rather than are you doing things now that will allow you to leave to create even bigger things? You know what I'm saying? I don't think that you have to leave where you are to start and begin and create a base. Where you are, if there's lacking, create something, and if there isn't, then build. You need to always be seeing something. And maybe we're not always doing the newest thing, or, you know, but if you're doing something the same as someone, or you're inspired by, and you're inspired by someone, figure out something that they're lacking of it and do it different. Do it better in your mind, what you think would be better. And don't copy. Whatever you do, don't copy people, but be inspired. You see what I'm saying? I mean, at the end of the day, I really don't think that being in a city or an environment that's really a creative environment will propel you. I think if you are in a position to do your own research on the internet, you know, do Tumblr, do Instagram, you know, all the creative outlets that there are to see different photos and different creative things people are doing, if you're putting yourself in a position to see what people are doing, regardless of being in a city or whatever, you can build your own scenery these days. You can do whatever you want. You can literally build an experience. So if you don't have the means, and if you don't need to, then you don't need to. But I think if you feel that you want to, then do it, but you don't have to. Don't ever blame too much of your outside sources for the things that you feel you might lack. Always make sure that you're taking responsibility for the things that you're trying to do and get better at. And if you do feel like you are stuck and you're not having a creative process that is beneficial, then be honest with yourself and get out of that position. Unless you are in a position where you do feel fulfilled and, you know, you feel happy at the end of the day, everything's right, but you just feel like maybe that's just not, you know, the end all be all for you, because you're seeing maybe that there's more to life on Instagram, and maybe, you know, you can be doing better. And I mean, where you are right now will bring you to where you should be. And if you are doing your best where you are always, then you're on your way to where you are. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think the last word didn't. So, like I said, just, you know, listen to your heart. Listen to what you feel is the best. Does it matter where you live? Maybe it does, depending on what you do. Maybe you're a fashion stylist. Maybe you are a photographer. Maybe you're a videographer. Maybe you're something. Honestly, there are particular reasons to be in different places, because it offers you more of a position to be paid more. It offers more stability. It offers more connections with people. I, for one, am going to move to New York soon this year, because I feel like I mean, I love Chicago, don't get me wrong, but there's just a certain point where I realize, like, people, every time I go to New York, they're like, yo, let's go to lunch, let's do this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, damn, I gotta leave in a week, I gotta do this, you know. It's like, there's so much to be had there. There's so many events, there's so many meetings, there's so much business, there's so much activity that I just think I would benefit greatly from being there for quite some time. So that'll happen soon. I'm excited about that, though. I think that'll be a nice move, because I don't know, New York is a cool place. If whoever you asked me this question, you wonderful person, I think if you want to be in a loud and popping environment like New York, then feel it in your heart to go. But take your time to benefit in being in the place where you are now without feeling rushed, because when you get to that place, you will know that it's time. Okay? So my third part is about an experience I had specifically at a psych ward. So a lot of people actually don't know my experience, my drug use experience. So I actually was quite addicted to Adderall for quite some time. I mean, it was probably like 6 months or so. And I was prescribed to it, and I was taking it literally every single day. I was probably taking like 5 pills a day, which is a lot. It is a lot of pills, and I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, I was hardly sleeping. I was like drinking NyQuil just to like fall asleep. I was so young. This was like, I was like 20 years old, probably like 21. And I was just like up doing like work. I was just like editing, blah, 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 like just doing crazy stuff for school. And I got addicted so easily. And I, after taking so many all the time for months straight, there was a point where I really genuinely knew that if I kept doing it, I was going to probably die. And I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't looking good. I was having a lot of anxiety. I was just feeling just so weird, and I couldn't talk right. I couldn't be around my friends. I was just acting kind of funny and sketchy, and I just lost a lot of situations and experiences that could have been beneficial and at that time in my life. And thinking back, I was just like, whoa, 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 how did that even happen? But it happens really quick. I mean, those prescription drugs, you think that they're, you know, helping you in an illness that you may think you have had in that moment, when, you know, you think you have anxiety, or you think you're not having, you have ADD or whatever, and someone gives you these pills, and you're like, wow, I have that. And now I can do everything I want to do, you know? But in reality, it's really like you just didn't have the motivation or the determination or the accountability to really genuinely do what you're supposed to do. And so that's where I think my addiction came from, was not just taking consideration of the things that I was supposed to be doing. So, you know, relying on a pill to do the dirty work, so to say. So got addicted to those, and there was just one day where I was like, okay, I just need to stop taking them. I can't do this anymore. This is like literally detrimental to my life. And so I just stopped one day, and I just remember like being in the house, just sitting there in the dark. I was like in there for like days after days after days after days after days, and my mind was just like messing with me super heavy. And my mind was literally telling me to, like, yo, just take your life. It's done. Like, what's the point of living? You have nothing going for you. You can't live without these pills. Like, there's really no, you have no energy. Like, you have literally nothing. Like, this is, you're useless. And it's kind of crazy how it works with the addiction, because you go through this withdrawal, where the withdrawal kind of, like, really makes you think that what it's telling you is real. And if you have no awareness or mindfulness, like I kind of do now, you'd probably really believe it, right? So called my mom, and I was like, yo, I am thinking about killing myself. And she basically was like, okay, I'm gonna come and get you, you know, please hold on, be safe, blah, blah, blah. And she came over and picked me up, and we went to the hospital. And she still to this day tells me that's like the scariest thing that's ever happened to her. For me, I don't really remember it. I was in such a weird state of like just like experience. Like, I just wanted anything but what I was going through. Like, if I was gonna be somewhere that could allow me to just be outside of where I was, like in this dark like hole of like an existence, that like any kind of light or like wherever, anything different was gonna be helpful. So we got to the psych ward. I was on intake, and I like went in, and they took away like my phone. I had to like change it to a gown. I couldn't have like anything, basically none of my stuff, no ID, no nothing. And then I basically stayed there for a week. And I think the biggest thing that I remember was that a lot of the people there were very different. Different levels of like illnesses. There were people there with just like psychosis, and there were people who were like schizophrenic. There were people there who just were like drug addicts. There were people there who were very just mentally ill, just very kind of strange, and just, you know, couldn't, emotionally unstable. They'd scream, they'd just stare at you, they wouldn't talk. And it was definitely an experience. I would not say that it's like helpful in any way. What we did every other day, we'd like go to like group, we'd talk about some stuff. I don't think we ever really talked about anything like too personal. It's probably just like funny stuff, like hobbies, like what you like to do and stuff like that. And then the next one, you'd like have like another like course or class where you'd basically just like create crafts and stuff like that. And then the next one would be you'd watch TV, and then everyone would have to decide like what TV show they want to watch. And then you can ask, hopefully, while you're watching TV, to get like some kind of like happy pill where it would basically just like numb you out and you'd feel like super happy. And that was like pretty helpful, because being someone who's kind of just trying to get clean, I guess, was pretty helpful. And it's weird to say clean, because it was just such a weird experience, because I don't think of myself as someone who could ever really be so wrapped in something like that, because I always considered myself someone who's so aware, and obviously not. I still have so much to learn. Even to this day, I'm never perfect, and I never will be. But it's just crazy to think that we can all fall so victim to these pills and have our psyche change, and our thinking and our behavior and our perception of what life is and what it means to be alive. It deteriorates what's important, and what's important is warmth and accountability. And I like how I say warmth, because it's genuine. When I started doing meditations, I started realizing that the best thing that was happening for me was what I felt in my like stomach, and what I felt in like this amazing kind of energy of just feeling like okay and at peace no matter what happens. Like, no matter what anyone said, no matter what anything happened, I could always be completely in control of myself and feel that I can give a light, I can receive a light. And it sounds kind of crazy to say now out loud, but I guess it just feels like that. But that was something that I just didn't feel that I had. There was no warmth, there was no, it was just an empty vessel. I was an empty, and even though I was filled already, I was me. I was like just walking on autopilot almost, which is so strange to think. But I wouldn't regret those situations ever. I think that taught me a lot. It scared the shit out of my parents mostly, but it also taught me a lot about who I am, and like just the world and how people are existing, and how also like life goes on outside of your situations. It's kind of crazy. Like, a lot of people really didn't even know that I kind of went through that, and I still sometimes talk about it, and people are like, "You what? You were in a psych ward? Like, that's crazy." Like, no, it could happen to anybody. It could happen to anyone that you know, and it's, no one's invincible to addiction. No one's invincible to a mental illness. No one's invincible to a psych ward or therapy or assistance or whatever, like a planner, a 5-minute journal, a motivational speech, an affirmation. You know, like, we all look for something to make us feel just a little bit better about whatever's going on at the moment. And whether it's gonna assist us with our motivation, you know, it's something. And we can't always pin a finger on why or what or how or what the case may be, but we always have to decide for ourselves and be accountable and to be just aware of ourselves and make sure that we're making the right decisions for our bodies, for our minds, for our hearts, and to be accountable for your decisions. No one else is in control of you but you, and you have to be first completely honest and completely transparent. If you want true growth and true mindfulness and awareness, you need to be at a point where you need to accept how you are and then communicate with yourself on a level of pure fix. You need to say, I am this way because I am feeling jealous, or I am feeling this, or I am feeling whatever. Like, you really need to be in a place of saying to yourself, okay, why am I feeling any type of way? Because it obviously means something about me. Nothing ever means anything about anybody else, really, about how you react to stuff. When I finally understood that, like, really simple concept, even though it's really quite simple, like, nothing I do has anything to do with anybody else. It has everything to do with how I feel about how they do things. And if it's up to me to decide on if my life will be more drama, or if it will be more personal growth, or if it will be whatever, then I gotta make that conscious decision to not, you know, get involved with it. We are in control completely and utterly. So, psych ward happened. I got out, and boyfriend broke up with me. I was single for a little bit. I went back home. I really didn't do much growth. I was still wrapped in trying to figure out how to get back to where I was. And I don't think that my biggest thing was getting back to where I was. It was really just trying to find a new me. And I didn't really realize that the new me needed awareness and mindfulness and just separation from nonsense. But I was just so lost in the sauce that, you know, had to learn the hard way. Some people gotta learn the hard way. And then, of course, I got addicted to Xanax later on in life, 2015. That's a whole other story. Maybe I'll save that for another time. I think in 2015, there was like a great Xanax overload, and everyone had like bags of it. And not everybody, but most of the Chicago scene was like definitely doing Xanax, which is so dangerous because I definitely could have easily overdosed. Like, that was crazy. There's like a few months of my life I have no idea what happened. And that's what it'll do. Thought I had anxiety, and I got, literally, I was prescribed to Xanax, but I also got, I paid for it as well. But I just learned a lesson, kids. Don't do none of that shit. It's not worth it. You literally ruin your life. I had like horrible experiences, but I'll tell you this much, I would never ever take it back, because I think the psych ward, I can talk about it now, I can tell people that they're not alone, I can like inspire people as hell to not touch any of that crazy shit. But also, if you've never have in your life either, just be aware of even your favorites, even your people that you look up to and you might want to hear something from every now and then, have been through something pretty crazy. And it is possible for people who are pretty shitty at some point in their life to come back around and to be really great people and be wonderful people and to inspire other people to be better. Because knowing me, I think what I really genuinely wanted more than anything in the world was to just be happy. And I think everyone just wants to be happy at the end of the day. And if we can all just see each other for those people who just really just want to be happy, then we can really just move forward and try to fix and to mend and to heal. So, thanks so much, you guys. I hope you enjoyed affirmations, motivations, and psych words. I will see you next episode. Take care.